Morning's seminar. It's great to have you. Myself and Andre, I'm Tina Southgate, and this is Andre. And Andre, how do you say your last name?
So my full name's Andre Adefope.
So we're going to be running the singles seminars, morning and afternoon at Spring Harvest. I'll be doing all of the morning sessions, so I'll be running this morning session, and Andre's doing 2:15 to 3:15 in the same room. So we'll tell you a little bit about what he's going to be doing later. So thanks. So great to see you all. This morning I've been asked to come along to Spring Harvest and to talk about thriving in singleness. So I'm quite excited to see what comes up this morning. As I said, my name's Tina Southgate. I'm actually, by profession, a life coach. More specifically, I'm actually a destiny coach, we call them. So my specialism is in helping people to figure out what their calling is and what their life purpose is. And the way that I got into that was, I mean, first of all, when I discovered life coaching, I just loved it because it was so empowering. And I got into it about 10 years ago, and I do it professionally and have done for the last 10 years. Before that, I worked in business, but I really wanted to do something that affected people's lives and that I could have an impact on lives. And the thing that I love about it is that it's a discipline where me and the team that we're now building up of other life coaches and destiny coaches, we get to see people released into knowing with clarity what they were called to do on the earth and understanding their purpose in their faith, in their spiritual lives, and also in their vocation, because it all links together. So we do a whole ton of things in that area, and I will mention that a little bit later on. But I actually started off with a real heart for singles because, number one, I'm single myself and have been for a very long time. And I just found that it was an area that was, for me, I'm going to talk about that this morning, about my testimony and work it into our teaching. But an area of frustration and pain and all kinds of other emotions that comes up with it, loneliness, all the rest of it. So I had a real heart for singles, and I used to run a singles ministry in about 2008, 2009. I just felt like it's really hard for singles who have a Christian faith to find other singles who are on the same page. And I used to run Christian events, parties really, to be honest, so that Christians could find each other. And I used to coach singles as well for a period of about 2 or 3 years, all around the area of relationships and really helping them to find love and also to, you know, work through all of the process of what it takes to actually do that, which is not always easy. For some people, it's very easy. For others, it's not, isn't it? So I have a heart for this area, but what I really discovered more and more was that for my own life was that actually knowing what I was here for, and I know as Christians we have very generic things that we know we're here for, that God has told us, that are very biblical, but actually having an idea of my own unique specific purpose and why God created me and what impact I can have, as you like, on the earth. We talk about world changes in destiny coaching, but actually it's all about game changers. So it's the same thing, really. We're looking to be game changers because we are world changers, right? We follow a God who has that in his heart to change the world and make it the way that he wants it. So I just got very interested in the whole area of life purpose and calling and destiny. And then I kind of moved over away from just focusing on singles into that area. And a long story, which I won't go into right now, but a couple of years ago, Destiny Coaching Ministries is the ministry that I founded. And we now coach people. That's what we do. We coach people around their destiny, around their purpose, around helping them to step into that fulfilling, that flourishing, that thriving life where they're clear about who they are and what they're to do and who they're to be on the earth. And it's all for Christians. We just basically work with Christians. And we are also running a coach training school and raising up other life coaches to do that. So we're actually building a team of people. We go around churches, we run workshops, we do one-to-one coaching, and The team is growing. We've currently sort of trained 25 coaches last year. We're training another 25 this year. We run an online school and we run training as a residential, as well as doing all the coaching programs in different churches. So that's my who I am. But today, what we've prepared for you is a morning where we're going to talk about singles, the unseen treasures. And this title has meaning on so many different levels, but really it's about, first of all, as single people, there's many environments where we may feel that we're not seen. And it can be difficult, maybe in church environments where we feel that we're not fully acknowledged sometimes. Depending on your age group and your environment and your network, I have a friend who, you know, all her friends are married, so she's always the odd one out. You know, she's always, if you like, she's got used to it, but she's always the single one. And in many ways, you know, as singles, we can feel overlooked. We're going to talk this morning about what is inside us and our identity and how, you know, we can be fully empowered, even in single life. But then each and every one of us, whether we're single, married, or whatever our season happens to be, or whatever we want, we are also have so much treasure inside us. There's so much potential inside of us. Also, how do we access that, and how do we know what it is, and how do we live in the fullness of that? Despite our marital status. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to kick off by being a little bit vulnerable and just sharing my story. And we're going to have an interactive session where we actually open up a discussion and we just bring out some of the areas that you feel, are some of the challenges in single life. And we're just going to look at that, and then we're going to look at how we can move how we can address those challenges and really move into being more empowered and actually going sort of from surviving to thriving. So we'll just see what comes up in the room, and then we've got some teaching off the back of that. And I'll also share, you know, what the Lord's shown me on my journey and how he's actually moved me through all of these stages. So my hope is that by the end of this seminar, when we're going till 1 o'clock, that you really are going to be encouraged and affirmed in who you are, whether you're single or married. Have we got any guys? I shouldn't really do this, should I? But is anyone in the room not single? Ah, okay. So you guys have obviously got a heart for singles. Great. Yeah, you're in the wrong seminar. Off you go. No, it's okay. Shall we let them in? What do you think? Okay, you're allowed to stay. Isn't that make a change, doesn't it, when you're the odd ones in the room? how cool is that? So yeah, I just want you to go away encouraged with a whole bunch of hope in whatever area you need it, and also really to go away empowered, just to really start thinking about the limitless possibilities you have as a single person. And we're going to do some other seminars, and I'll talk about the other mornings and what we're going to be covering as well. But today really is about looking at how to be empowered and how to actually walk in your identity in an empowered way as a single person. So I'm going to start off by just telling you my personal journey, a little bit about it. Why on earth did I get asked to come to Spring Harvest and talk about thriving in singleness, you might wonder? First of all, I'm single, I think. and I've got a little bit of experience of being single. I've never been married, ever. And I've dated on and off my whole life, probably from the age of 14. Shocking, hey? I'm 45 years old, so if you add that up, that's about 31 years experience, okay. I've been in relationships during that time. I counted them up before I did this seminar. I thought, well, what counts as a relationship, you know? And I thought, well, I guess when you're with someone in an exclusive relationship for maybe 2 months or more. So ranging from 2 months to 4 years, my relationship lengths, I've probably been in about 14 during that time. Okay, so got a little bit of experience of being single, the dating side, the relationship side, and I was brought up in a Christian home. Apparently, when I was 5 years old, I made a commitment to follow Jesus. I don't really remember it, but my mum tells me it was a very special time. And so I've always believed in God, but I did fall away from the Lord in my early 20s and kind of went out to the world and explored a bit in the world. So I've had experience. About half the relationships I've had have been with people who haven't really shared my faith because I wasn't walking with the Lord, and about half of them have been Christian relationships with good Christian guys. So I've had all kinds of breadth of experience in this area and learnt a lot about it and developed a real heart for the area and hopefully a bit of wisdom that I can share with you about it. I've always wanted to be married. Right from when I knew that it was possible to be married, I always felt this is for me, this is what I want. I always envisioned having a family, having a a lovely sort of secure Christian relationship. So obviously that's quite a hard thing to kind of process as you go through years and years of not being married. And I know for people who've never been married, it's hard. But I know for people who've been married and it's not worked out, it's just as hard, but in different ways. You know, so. But I think when you're not married, you sort of wonder, is it ever going to happen? And after a while, it becomes, for me, probably the hardest area in my whole life to hold hope in. Because as the years go past and as you've had one relationship after another that have not worked out, which today I'm really thankful about that they didn't, but at the time, it doesn't feel good. So it's been hard. And probably the most painful points for me personally was probably in my late 20s. It's the whole biological clock thing. As a woman, you know, actually, I always thought I was going to have children. What's going to happen about that? And, you know, you wonder and you kind of, you've got that pressure. And then being in a Christian relationship and it ending when I was 30, I think that was a really hard point for me. I was in a relationship about a year and it didn't work out. And that was took me a long time to get over that one. So that was one of the most painful points. And then perhaps about 8 years later, I was in another relationship with a guy who was very much on the same page as me. We had a shared vision. We had so much in common. And we were even looking at perhaps working together in a ministry. And that didn't work out either at 38 years old. And he had everything that I had actually written on my husband list. Has anyone ever done a husband list? Or a wife list? Have you ever actually written down a list of what you'd ideally like? No? No one's done that? Yes, someone's done that. Okay. So that guy, he actually ticked all these obscure things on my list. So I was kind of really confused because I was like, Lord, surely that would be the right guy. But actually, turns out I'd put some pretty basic foundational things that should have been on the list weren't on the list that I hadn't even thought about. So I learned a lesson there as well. So every single experience has been a good teaching opportunity, shall we say. So, you know, I'm just trying to let you into my little journey here. Disappointment, hope deferred, all of these things. And I think probably the biggest one, loneliness. At the end of the day, I'm quite an outgoing person. I've got lots of friends. But there's nothing that takes that place of that person who is your soulmate. You know, the person that you speak to every day, that shares your life, that knows everything that's going on with you. And you know, I live in London City, and as much as I've often thought I don't want to anymore, I've always felt it's the best place to be as a single person because you sort of feel like you're in good company. There's lots of other older single people in a city. But when you move out of a city, quite often there's a lot fewer single people because have you noticed that dynamic where when you go to the smaller towns and places like that, people tend to get that in churches especially, everyone's married and there's maybe only one or two of you that aren't. Whereas if you're in a larger church in London, sometimes you can feel a little bit less like a freak because, you know, there's a bigger pool, shall we say, of single people. So I decided to stay in London and be single in London, even though it wasn't perhaps my preferred place that I would love to live. It's even in London, it can be lonely. And you chase around, you fill your schedule up with lots of things to do sometimes because you just don't want to be sitting at home, you know, on your own every evening. So it's not an easy place to be. always living the single life. So I would say for the first 25 years of my journey, I tried everything. You name it, I did it. I would say there's not a Christian internet dating site I haven't tried. So if you want any advice, I can probably... Hello? Right, we're good? I should be wired. So there's not a site that I haven't tried out, probably. Did speed dating once. Has anyone done that? Yep. It's interesting, exhausting, but interesting. I've gone through a whole bunch of counselling in my 30s to sort out all of those issues and figure out what was wrong with me, because, right, there must be something wrong with me, right, because I'm not getting married. So went through a lot of deep inner healing stuff and dealt with it, did just about every different thing you can imagine that was to do to relationship about relationships. I've read so many different books on it, not The Dating Dilemma yet, but especially the one about how to get a date worth keeping in 6 months or your money back. Have you ever read that one? it worked. I did it with three friends and we all got dates, but only one of us ended up married. The other relationships didn't end up working. So you name it, I tried it. And to be honest, it was exhausting. It was so tiring because, you know, but it was right? We should be intentional. We should be out there. We should be doing stuff. And then I got to a point in my life, it was in about 2006, and my dad passed away. He was a lot older when he had me, so he was 89 when he passed away. And it was in that moment of him go, and he was a strong Christian, so I knew where he was, but it's still a very difficult thing, right? And I just thought, wow, I know I'm going to see him again, and I know where he is, and I know. It was like in that moment, God gave me a perception on eternity that I hadn't had before. And maybe some of you have experienced that when you've lost people. But I just felt, gosh, I got a glimpse of how this life is so short. And actually, eternity is our promise, right? It's where we're ending up at. And in eternity, marriage isn't really the thing there, is it? So it kind of gave me a different perspective on the whole getting married thing. And that, along with after that, really just before that, actually, I'd sort of said to God, I was in a job, I was working in the City of London, and I was just not fulfilled. I was successful, I was earning great money, but I had no sense of fulfillment in me. And I just thought, surely I'm meant to do more than this in the world, you know? Do you know that feeling when you just know that you're not aligned? It's really hard to describe, but you just know that you're not fully who you could be, yeah? So I just really started praying. I didn't fast. Don't like fasting. I didn't lock myself in a prayer closet for 2 hours every day. But on the 1st of January 2006, I just said, right, God, every day I'm going to ask you what my purpose is until you tell me. And it was literally a few sentences every day, but it was that intentional focus. And within 4 months, he gave me a big step towards my destiny, which was this whole area of coaching, which led to me leaving my career and setting up a company at the time. But that was quite significant because all of a sudden, my shift changed. And even though I still really wanted to be married, I had a different focus and it was exciting. And I felt like I was actually bringing something of who God created me to be into the world. And that was a really, really significant time. So that, coupled with my dad passing away, led me to say a very brave prayer in 2009. And this is how it went. I was at this conference, and this lady was talking about how we all have things that we have idols in our heart that separate us from the fullness of what God has for us, right? It's not like, you know, we lose our salvation or anything, but it's like things that stop us from going to that extra place with God. And she just, in the quiet of the room, she got us all to just listen to see what the Spirit would show us about, you know, what that might be for us. And she said not to do it if we didn't want to. It was very free. But if we could maybe just lay down what God had brought to our hearts, just lay it down and give away the right for it. And guess what came up for me? The whole being married thing. And I just thought, oh my gosh. So I took a decision to stand up and respond. And I basically prayed a prayer saying, okay, God, if you want me to be single for the rest of my life, I am okay. You know, I will. I said, I'm not okay with it. I don't like it, but I will do that for you. And I basically said, I basically gave God that area of my life. And I said, you are in charge. I said, my picker is obviously not very good. I give it to you, you know. And I'm not going to say I'm not going to try, but I'm going to be led by you. And I'm just going to trust that this is an area that, you know, if you want me not to be married, then show me, tell me, and I will, you know, give it up for you. Which is huge, isn't it? I mean, gosh, how on earth did I get to that place? I think part of it was to realize I had other purpose and other fulfillment in life, and to realize the whole eternal thing, you know, that it's not kind of, this life is important, but it's not everything, you know? So shortly after that, I started to get people who just kept saying, I don't know how it was, but it was God. They just kept saying, when you're married and stuff like that. And as if it was a given that I'd be married. And it was like the Lord started to show me that you are going to be married. You know, it is going to happen. But he just sort of said it. It just kept coming. I don't think people knew what they were saying, but it was a message coming loud and clear to me. Even a crazy person on a train when I was in London going somewhere. You know those crazy people that get on trains? That you just like, oh, I'm not a Christian. I don't, you know, I have nothing to do with this person. And she was slightly mentally not quite right, but she was... There was about six of us in this train carriage, and she was just praying stuff. And she obviously had something going on, some connection with God, but it was a bit crazy. And then she came right up to me, and she said, God has got someone for you. You will be married. And I'm like, what? Like, how weird is that, right? So I started to actually believe that it was going to happen, but I had to just relinquish the timing and just I had to leave it to God. And oh my goodness, my life changed. The 7 years since then have been so much better, so much less exhausting, because I've actually been in a place where I just feel peace, and it's up to God, and I've sort of let go of the control of it, if you like, and it's up to him to deal with it. And he's been developing that sense of calling that he gave me. And honestly, if you had said to me, you're going to be 45 and single, and you're going to be happier than you've ever been in your entire life and feel fulfilled when I was 20 years old, would I have believed you? No, not for a moment. But all of that hurt and that pain and that trauma all went. It's like I don't feel it anymore. I don't have it. And don't get me wrong, I still wanted to be married, but it's like it wasn't an issue anymore. It wasn't a challenge anymore. It's like God, somehow in that moment of me giving it up, he managed to fill that hole with something else, something of him that was just different. And he's taken me into an area. Who would have believed it? Life coaching, right? Pretty much everyone in the company when I left laughed at me. They said, you're leaving to be a life coach? You imagine in 2006, I left a flourishing career in marketing to become a life coach. And it was a bit of a joke, to be honest, in the company. But I did it in faith. I left and I did what I wanted to do. But God has taken it so much bigger than I could ever imagine. You know, nowadays I'm flying... I flew to New York 2 weeks ago to speak to a bunch of church leaders about bringing coaching to their church as a culture. You know, we've set up a residential school 2 years ago, and we've got, you know, a really high caliber of coaches and leaders coming who want to bring the kingdom into their coaching and to explore this whole area of allowing God to show us who we are and our identity. And he's just, the things that I'm involved with are so exciting, you wouldn't believe it. And it's all to do with the fact of God showing me that you can thrive even as a single woman, you know, or single man. And there's no stops, there's no limits. You know, you can be a game changer no matter what your marital status is. So that's my story. What else did I want to say? But what I think, in the last 7 years, God has just spoken more and more and more to me about my identity in him. And he's, you know, just learning that actually I'm his daughter. You know, I'm a daughter of the king. That's actually quite an amazing identity to have, right? A son of the king, a daughter of the king. And it doesn't really matter about what has been, whether you've had been through marriages that have failed, whether, you know, you've lost a loved your spouse. It's actually, there's things that are way higher than this area. But this area is important, and it's an area of blessing that God wants for each and every one of us. He wants us to be blessed in our relationships. So it's important to not discount it. And oh my gosh, it's so annoying when people patronize. I don't know whether any of you feel of this, you know, well, maybe you're not meant to be married, or maybe it's not the right time, or maybe there's things you need to deal with. You know, it's not always about that. It's God is sovereign, and it's about a lot more of that, which I'm going to talk about later. So I'm going to unpack the learnings that I had from that in a little bit later in the seminar and tell you what God showed me. But first of all, I thought it'd be really good to get a bit interactive and just find out what you feel some of the challenges are in a single life as a Christian. And we're just going to flip chart them over there. And we're also going to have a mic runner. Can we have a mic runner? Because we want this. This is all recorded. So the first question I want to pose is, what are some of the challenges that you and those you know? So, you know, it might not be you specifically. It might be friends you've got. You've all got single friends. You've all been around. You've all seen this stuff. What are some of the challenges that you and those you know face around being single and Christian? So if you just pop your hand up or just shout it out, Sandy will just bring a mic. Great.
DIY.
DIY. How do you do your
practical
DIY?
And when I first entered into the single life, when my marriage failed, I was unfortunate enough to know another single mother who had single-handedly plumbed in her own washing machine, bricked up the kitchen door, done this, that, and the other, just like a man. And I thought, I've got to be like that. And that's not who I am.
No.
So accepting myself as I was, useless at DIY and having to ask for help, that was so liberating for me.
Brilliant.
Don't try and be somebody else. Be yourself. If you can't do DIY, admit it. I couldn't even change a light bulb. I've learnt that at least. Right.
That's wonderful. I love it. That's great. Anybody else? What other challenges? We need you to be a fast bike runner, Sandy.
It's all right. I think the thing I've been struggling with in my own church is being taken advantage of being a single person in the church's organisation. So you sort of dumped on quite a lot because obviously you've got a lot of free time.
Obviously you have, yeah.
To cater
right?
for, yeah.
Because you don't have a home to run like married people have. And you like, I so feel for you. This makes me so angry. As a single person, you've still got a home to run on your own, right? You've got no one helping you run it. I've had aged parents, my dad and then my mum. You've got aged parents to look after on your own because you haven't got a spouse. You've got usually a full-time job to, you know, deal with on your own. Most of us do. Okay, that's the same. And you've also, your family is your friend, so you need a social life, because if you're just volunteering in the church all the time outside of church, you need time to rest and you need time to have a social life. So I'm sorry, I've never been married, but is it possible maybe that singles don't have a whole bunch of free time like marrieds think they do? Maybe, I don't know. Am I being fair, unfair? Do you see what I'm saying? It's not quite how people think it is, that's all. I know marriages take work and I know children take work. I'm not being funny, but yeah, there are things that single people have, responsibilities that people don't always realise. Sorry, that one really touched my heart. Yeah.
I think it's the lack of intimacy and affection with another person, and a lack of closeness, and always wanting to have a best friend there and a number one, somebody that you can just go and talk to when you need that person, and someone that you can have a hug with when you're feeling down, and just that sort of thing, really.
Definitely, yeah, absolutely. And there's a lady there.
I find my biggest struggle is actually other people. I personally am not that bothered if I find someone. If I find someone, that is great. But if I don't, I'm okay with that. But everyone around me is very much like either they are married or it's... So when are you going to find someone? Mm. When are you getting married? And particularly in work, I've got one person who's really like, we must find you someone. And
yeah, and you're happy, you know, and it's basically just reminding you every time they say it, isn't it?
I think for me it's about where your worth comes from. Mm. And that's been quite a challenge for me to actually not find my worth in somebody else's love, another person's love, but to find it in God's love for me and for that to be enough.
Wow. Interesting journey you're on. That's good. Yeah. There's a guy in the middle, Sandy. You don't know quite how you get a mic to him. Maybe we could... Okay, and then we'll go to this gentleman in the middle here.
I have a whole massive problem with divorce when it hasn't ended in adultery, about the teachings of the Bible to do with that. I feel as though if, by some miracle, I did manage to meet somebody that by just being with them, I'd be committing adultery if I went on to marry them. Because it's the Bible is very difficult, and having spoken to priests and experts and everything, they always kind of give up on the answer of divorced people meeting somebody else
right.
when your marriage broke up and it wasn't your fault, and they just end up saying, "But God wants you to be happy," and it doesn't answer, it doesn't match what the Bible says.
But
so
God,
I don't know what it's to be a good Christian. I don't know,
do you know what
I'm supposed
though?
To do.
God wanting you to be happy is great theology right there. And that could mean you're getting married again. So, yeah, there's some great teaching on that.
But
some
the Bible says not to get, you can't get
married. No, not necessarily. It's all about interpretation. We won't go into that in this seminar, but there is some great teaching out there. If you come and see me afterwards, I can point you to some which gives a very balanced biblical view on it. Yeah, we can hook you up with some. There's always grace. I mean, the whole message of salvation is about grace, right? It's grace and God wanting you to be happy. So, yes.
Hi. I think challenges, I've been single all my life and I've never been married. So, but there's a blessing to be single, you know.
Exactly.
And there's freedom in being single, you know. And I think also God is in control. I know I've got a friend, a lady friend at the moment, but she's not interested in getting married at the moment, you know. And it's all about timing. I respect her view, you know, mm-hmm. and we're just friends. That's fine. I've helped her a lot and she's helped me in certain areas. But I think there's freedom, you know.
Definitely.
And just know you learn off other people being single mm-hmm. and learn and grow in who you are in Christ to be single in who you are. And then you learn off others and you can just be yourself, you know, and just know God's got it in hand, you know. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. And I believe that God does want us, all of us, to get married, because it's not good for man to be alone.
No.
It's not good for man to be alone, but there's timing and everything that, you know, there's certain areas that maybe God's speaking to us individually and corporately, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we need to be ready for that person, they need to be ready for us as well. So I think God looks at the heart. We look at the outward circumstances, situations, but God's got it in situation. I think it's just listening to God. What we heard this morning, just listening to God, knowing that we don't need to work it out ourselves, but rely on God's strength, you know, and he will guide us and lead us
Absolutely. By
his spirit and
that's
just
great.
Not do it in our own strength.
Thank you.
And just not look at our own weaknesses and that
that's
sort of
great.
Thing and not make excuses. But try and be the person we are for the church.
Do you want to come do the seminar? This is great, isn't it?
I just think it's so encouraging.
Singles
and married, whether you're single or married, you can be a blessing. You can just
Absolutely.
Be available.
Absolutely.
It's not your ability, but your availability. And you
we
can
agree.
Do so much in the kingdom of God. If you're available, then things, I believe, will happen naturally. You
Thank
form
you.
Out different friendships And you know along the way, you might meet that one person, and that is the one for you.
Great. Thank you for that. That's really good. Thank you. We'll just have one more. And this lady over here, and I think she put her hand up first, I think. Oh, all right. And then we're looking at the challenges. I love your encouragement. That's great. You're a natural encourager, so that's good. One more comment. Challenges or?
Challenges are bringing up children because you have to give them, for example, I've got two small boys and they are very boy driven. They're proper tomboys climbing trees and they'll say, Mummy, come, I want to do rugby passes with you. And I've got to run in the garden. And, you know, it's giving that balance. Even if I did have little girls, I think children need that role model in both a male and a female. And when you're single, whether you're a man or a woman, you have. But I'm lucky, my church helps and they've noted. And last week, someone from my church took the boys to the Majeski in Reading and we watched a rugby match. Brilliant. And he sat between my boys and he explained all the lineups and everything I didn't understand. So
isn't that great? That's
wonderful. And I often look at men who have little girls who are single and you think, gosh.
Let's get together. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking.
No. Sorry.
Yes, that too, but it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, bringing up children. Like now my boys are at an age and they want to go to the toilet, but they'll want mummy still. And you're like, let's go into the ladies. And they're like, no, but I'm not a girl. You know. Like,
okay, yeah. All these things I never even thought about.
I can't go into a man's loo.
It's interesting. Excellent. Okay, so what about, has anyone got any comments on, like, as Christians, we have a set of values, don't we, as single people, you know, wherever you're at, everyone's slightly different interpretation, but it's very different to the world, isn't it? And, you know, in your workplace, I don't know whether you've experienced it, but, you know, I've worked in the workplace and friends think I'm mad for, number one, actually just only wanting a Christian, because that narrows down the pool so much. What am I doing? Why am I doing that? You know, and then there's the whole thing of, you know, sexual purity, which is hopefully different for Christians than it would be in the world. So does anybody got any comments on that or other things, challenges in terms of how, if you're around a lot of non-Christians, how it feels to be single and the challenges around that, strains or temptations? Yes.
I just find it really lonely because I go to my parents' church because the churches where I live, they're a bit too fire and brimstone-ish for me. But I do get lonely because I feel I haven't got anybody to express my Christian thoughts and beliefs to join in with.
Yeah.
And that's where it does upset me because I'm quite a tactile person and I love God. And not being able to express that and share with my friends, I find very difficult.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, one more lady round there. And
I'm getting my work out.
Yeah. Sandy. Great team.
In work, I think you got to keep a sense of humour. So for the last 4 years, I'm a teacher, and my colleagues, they all, they don't get it that I just were like, you know, I'm single because I just want to marry a Christian man. I don't want anyone else. And so they made up a boyfriend for me for the last 4 years. So his name's Norman.
Oh,
so that whenever anyone else is going like, oh, you know, can you come out? But, you know, can you do this? Oh, I better check at home. You know, they always go, oh, Robin, can you come? You know, will Norman let you? So it became quite funny. But it's also been an amazing opportunity with my work, non-Christian work colleagues, because because it raises the conversation, I think, rather than
it's a big area
being
of difference.
Kind of like everybody else. Yeah. And I see some of my colleagues that have gone through boyfriend after boyfriend, and they come and they ask me, you know, why are you content the way you are? Why are you okay? And it's been a lovely opportunity to share with them, really. So I think really there's good things too.
That's really good. Isn't it great to hear about this? The lady there, yeah? And then we've got a guy at the back.
This is probably really vulnerable to say, but I think I became a Christian properly. I came from a Christian home, but then became a Christian properly after a long period of my 20s out of the church. So being with non-Christians and then becoming a Christian properly and wanting a Christian boyfriend, it's hard. I'm 34, I'm finding that I'm getting people on their second time round. So people that have got divorced or long relationships are broken, they're finding me because they're going, oh, Susie's single, you know, I'll go and find her, but I'm at a different place now, so I want a different kind of boyfriend. So that's a bit of a challenge, if I'm honest.
Good for you. Yeah, good for you for knowing what you want, though. It's really good. And we'll just do one more.
Yeah, so I'm 32, and obviously the big thing for me is I've just started going back to church in probably the last 3 years. And coming out of your 20s, you want to enjoy it as much as you can. But now I'm in the framework, so the new town that I've moved to, not a lot of people, well, apart from my Christian friends, not a lot of non-Christians know that I am a Christian. But it's a case of trying to change your mentality when you are on a night out. So it's a case of, it's silly o'clock in the morning and you're still on your first pint. So it's little things like that that you can try and alter to then get them asking why you slowing your drinking down and all this, that, the other. Because obviously you're trying to keep by the Christian religion of not drinking a lot. And it's little things like that, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's hard.
Yes.
Okay, wow. Well, how does it make you feel just hearing these different things in the room? Cause it's quite broad, isn't it? The range of challenges. How does it make you feel? Encouraged, yeah. Because you're not alone, are you? It's like, it's great. Did you have something to say? Did you want to just this lady here, and then we'll...
I know you talk about everything else, but... With me, I worked in a place called Lady Bird, and I worked with quite a few people. And they all said there's something different about you, because play my break time, I want to go to leave the work to do something. That time I went to pray, and I come back and I'm smiling. And I said, no, there's something different about you. And they happened to ask me what it is, and I said, they asked me, what am I? I'm a child of God. So that's what's different. Yeah. And what I found out, just talking to them, and they asked me questions. A few of them have come to know the Lord from, I don't know, it's the way how I go around or whatever. But being single is being hard, because I have been hurt by it. Yes, I have fallen in love with somebody who I did like, who was in the church, but something stepped in and took that person. And that person don't like to be around me because it hurts him, so he left the country. So that's what
I'll say. Wow, that's extreme. Wow. Okay. Wow, okay. So I just wanted to open it up, really, to give you a chance to just express some of the challenges. Here's some of the things. I mean, I was coaching singles for quite a while, and a lot of the people that come to our Destiny Activation programs are single. And I think, in a sense, there is a blessing, like you were encouraging us. What's your name? Paul. Like Paul was encouraging us earlier. I think there is a blessing. It's like God... Like our story becomes God's redemption, doesn't it? And there's things I'm going to share that he's given me through this area that I wouldn't have got if I'd been married, you know. And I think one of them was I was really hungry to find my sort of purpose and my destiny outside of marriage, you know, just what is it? And we have a lot of people who are single come to our programs, so we deal with them a lot. Here's some of the things I hear all the time. Women, not enough men in the church. Not getting married means not having children. You know, that's really hard for women. A lot of women get more attention from non-Christian men than they do Christian. You know, and if it's a longing of your heart and you keep getting a lot of attention from guys that aren't Christian and none from the Christian men, or there aren't any Christian men, that's hard. It's a temptation, right? And a relatively small pool to find a match. Men, this is some of the things I hear men saying. They feel outnumbered. You know, they are outnumbered, you know, in many ways. And some of my Christian male single friends, I've got a lot of them, they say they just feel very criticized and watched. If they, like, approach a girl in church, they feel like, you know, and there's all these eyes, and sometimes they feel like they're made to feel like they're, you know, a bit ungodly if they ask more than one girl out on a date, or, you know, if they're just exploring ideas. Christian girls read way too much into a coffee date, apparently, sometimes. And they just find it hard to get to know a girl without the pressure, you know, of what is this, and, you know, are we going forward into something else? And then both men and women, sometimes they're dating and people are very fragile. And, you know, the dating game is one that you can't really afford to be too fragile. You've got to have a level of emotional resilience to be able to just get to know people and... you know, not get terribly hurt if you don't get asked out for another coffee date, for example. And then loneliness is huge. Feeling like the odd one out in a family culture of church. Like we've talked about, carrying values around sex which are which radically contradict norms in society. Consequently, a feeling of being misunderstood. And the odd one out maybe in church and in work, you know, because you kind of don't fit into either culture. Just pressures, like we talked about before, pressures of financially supporting yourself. You know, single parents is another thing. Caring for aged parents. All of that as a single person. I've got single friends who are struggling to keep their own homes, you know, because they're living in London and it's expensive. Whereas if you're married, obviously, and you've got two incomes, it's a lot easier. And just like the struggle of looking after yourself emotionally, physically, spiritually, you know, and having to be responsible for that without having someone else caring for you and loving you and supporting you. So that's just some of the things that we hear, really. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to kind of go to the just to unpack some of the lessons that God's been showing me and unpack some of the wisdom. But I wanted to just get Marianne, if you could just come up. Marianne's on the Destiny Coaching Ministries team. She's a Destiny coach as well. And she just got this reading, which I just think we just felt was really for this morning. So I just want you to read it.
So I'm actually going to read... some of you may have heard of the Passion Translation. It's a chap has written, he's translated some of the Bible, and it's very much kind of through the heart of God. And I've taken this scripture from Song of Songs, and I really felt like this was actually current for this moment, for this season that we're in. So this is the bridegroom king speaking to his bride, and obviously as we're his bride. So just... turn your hearts just to hear this from him to you. Arise, my dearest. Hurry, my darling. Come along with me. I have come, as you have asked, to draw you to my heart and lead you out. For now is the time, my beautiful one. The season has now changed. The bondage of your barren winter has ended, and the season of hiding is over and gone. The rains have soaked the earth and left it bright with blossoming flowers. The seasons for pruning the vines has arrived. I hear the cooing of doves in our land filling the air with songs to awaken you and guide you forth. Can you not discern this new day of destiny breaking forth around you? The early signs of my purposes and plans are bursting forth. The budding vines of new life are now blooming everywhere.
Sounds great. Great. Well, we were going to do some... this was the question I wanted to ask, really, is what empowers you fully as a single person? You know, we heard earlier that the lady there, I don't know your name, I'm sorry, what was your name? Rachel. Rachel shared about... having to find her worth in God because, you know, in a sense, you can find it in your partner. Not that you should, but so that happens sometimes. You know, your identity becomes a bit different. So as a single person, you really do have to find your identity in God. This is like, I've got some teaching on this, which we do. We'll just briefly go through it. You know, these are some of the fruits, if you like, of having a false identity. Like that, you know, have you ever heard of the orphan spirit, you know, where we don't feel like we belong or we have anybody? And you can feel like that in loneliness, that all of that sort of stuff is found, isn't it? From just feeling like you don't belong. Or DNA-less, what a funny word that is, DNA-less. We carry the DNA of God because we're his children, right? We're a child of God, so that's our DNA, actually, not just our biological family. These are some of the fruits. I'm not going to go into great depth in these, but these are sort of some of the attitudes that come off the back of this. You know, I'm a victim, I'm not a choice, I'm not able, it's not possible. I don't think, you know, from what we've heard today, there's none of that going on here. But sometimes we can feel hopeless, especially when we're going through, you know, prolonged periods of singleness or
there's so many obstacles and difficulties. We can feel, you know, like we've just been left alone. We're an orphan. God doesn't love us. We can start making decisions from fear. These are some of the things that can happen. But really, when we're actually walking in our true identity, these are some of the fruits. You know, what is our true identity? We are, in fact, sons and daughters of the King. That makes us princes and princesses. And when you think about this, I mean, we have a very in-depth teaching on this, but we're not going to go into it today. But kings and queens, princes and princesses, they have a different way of living their life, right? They have a different way of holding themselves. They have a different way of being. And, you know, it's about owning these identities and actually walking in them as we, in our Christian walk. And when we are, when we feel truly like royalty, we're free. We're free to not fear about provision. We're free not to fear about being alone. You know, we actually have the ability to walk on a different level of confidence, which is all to do with trusting God and trusting that he's our father. And I mean, what better father to have than a father who actually owns everything and is actually the king of the universe? You know, there really isn't any resources that we don't have at our disposal as Christians, because we are sons and daughters of the King, you know. And I know these are all truths that we know from the Bible, but what does that actually mean when we're living our lives? And when you think of this as a prince or a princess, as royalty, this changes the whole perception on I'm not married or I'm alone, doesn't it? So we know where we belong. We know where we come from. We know where we belong. You know, we're actually passing through to an eternal place, an eternal home. And we know the family we have here. And this is the basis, really, the whole identity thing of actually knowing that anything's possible. And that doesn't really matter whether you're single or married. Anything is possible if you're a child of God, because he can actually come alongside you and give you the resources and the blessing that you were talking about and the peace of all of these different things. So I was going to do an exercise. This is what we call the identity pot. These are just some of your identities as Christians. And just look at that slide and just let it soak in, you know. So I'm going to leave that up there as I just unpack what God showed me through these years of being single. Do you remember I told you about that prayer I prayed, relinquishing the right to be married and saying, okay, God. In a sense, you could have called it, I felt like I was entitled to be married. And it is a blessing rather than an entitlement. But I just found a lot of freedom in that. It actually made it his choice. And it gave me freedom to just get on with the rest of my life and actually stop having to try. So it's like that spirit of entitlement took away something that was blocking me from fully feeling who I was in God and what I could be. And by getting rid of it, I was able to step into much bigger things, really, without fear. Because, you know, if I was going to be single, I had to actually face reality. And the reality was, maybe I will be single for the rest of my life. And sometimes facing our worst fears is actually the greatest strength we can have. When we face the reality of what could be, we're then able to then freely walk into the next stage of what God has for us, despite feeling afraid. The biggest, I think, testimony for me is I actually, after this period of time, feel zero pain about being single. Like, literally, the broken heart, the disappointment, the trauma. God heals broken hearts. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness." Now, if you think about this, you know, the weaknesses that we have as single people is where God's power is perfected. And that's incredible, because this is an area of opportunity for you to experience the power of God in your life, whatever it is, whatever your personal challenge in that area. And he heals broken hearts. He actually will heal your heart. He'll heal the pain, because there's no other way. I'm sorry, but you know, you can go to any life coach, psychotherapist or anything. But at the end of the day, the only way of your pain and your heart being healed is by God himself, supernaturally, because that's what he does. He came to bind up the broken hearts. So we're going to do a prayer about that just at the end, just to so you can just leave it behind and move on. It's that simple. And he will do it for you supernaturally.
And he gives you grace. I mean, grace, I learned so much more about this recently. Grace is such an amazing thing. And I learned that you can ask for it. If you don't have it, you can ask for it. Sometimes I wake up and the day, you know, when you wake up on a day and it's going to be a bad, it just feels like a bad day. I just like, Lord, I need grace. And he'll just flood it in. And the day goes differently. I'm sure you guys have experienced that. And he also taught me, you know, tomorrow I'm going to talk about, I'm going to do some more coaching stuff, actually. And we're going to talk about our values and our, you know, personal integrity. And, you know, for me, the family to me is so important. You know, I give my life for my family, and I did, to care for my dad and my mum. So what does that look like if I'm single? Well, Lord, the Lord's helped me to reframe the whole idea of family. It's not just about getting married and having kids. It's much bigger than that. And he's given me the blessing of a completely different perception on it. So the message of that is whatever values you feel you can't live out because you're single, you can. And God will actually give you a complete new revelation on them. We're going to talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. And big one here, trusting the Lord on timing. How hard is that? Don't understand it. Wish I did. Wish I could tell you. He's given me all the answers, but I don't understand it. But I've learned that God is sovereign, and there's nothing you can do about his sovereignty and his timing. And all the trying didn't work, right? It's all about what God has planned for you. In my case, you know, my trying to find a husband. So Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, you know what it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So I think just learning to just trust that his timing is going to work out for the good, even if I can't see it, has been another lesson I've learned. And then this other thing I learned, it's like a sort of a Christian coaching exercise, was, you know, when people say that Jesus has experienced everything that we've experienced, have you ever heard of the fellowship of his sufferings, yeah, of Jesus' sufferings? I did an exercise where I asked the Lord to show me how he had actually basically experienced the feelings that I was feeling, you know, when I was in pain about being single. And he showed me that he'd felt exactly the same thing, because he was, remember, in a Jewish culture and he never married. So he was actually feeling pressures himself. He was actually, in the context, historical context of Jesus, he would have actually probably was being expected to be married, you know, and that wasn't his calling. That wasn't what he was called for. So he knows what it feels like to have people putting on you, trying to find you someone and all the rest of it. And just reflecting on that is a really useful thing, I think, to know that our Saviour has actually experienced this whole area just as much as we have, in many ways. So I think the main area, though, is that God actually doesn't work in our boxes. So we think, oh, the solution is this or that, but he brings solutions that are completely out of the box and not what we imagine. Like, he has taken me to places and used my story in so many ways I couldn't have imagined it. And what it's taught me is that each and every one of us are precious, and we have a calling and a purpose that is way higher than we thought it was. You know, like, each and every one of you sitting in this room is a world changer, is a game changer. And sometimes we get caught up in the struggle of surviving through these different things, but actually we have in us the ability to change the world in the way that God's actually created us to be. And it doesn't, all these other struggles are just kind of ways of us stopping finding that game changer person inside of us, really. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. So what we wanted to do is to just do a little exercise in pairs, where we're going to meditate on Ephesians 2:10. For some of you, it says that we're his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So I want you just, for 5 minutes, just to to with a person sitting next to you or get in a two, I want you just to take a couple of minutes each way and just to ask, in what way do I see myself as a masterpiece that God created? Okay? And just see what comes up. Who realizes they're more a masterpiece than they thought they were? Yeah? That's good. So I just want to just do a little bit on from surviving to thriving, I've called it. This is basically just to sum up some of the things that I think have come out of this morning. First of all, wasn't it encouraging just to hear from the room, you know, from other people? So there's actually a power in just being aware of what the challenges are. Sometimes I think we, because we don't have people to talk to, or for whatever reason, we're just not aware, actually, of what we're actually really challenged by. So I just encourage you to talk to people and even just journal. You know, what are my challenges now? It's okay. It's okay to feel challenged and to have things going on as a single person. You know, I remember a pastor, I went off to a ministry school for 3 years in America, came back to the UK in 2012. He said, nobody knows your emotional needs, your physical needs, your spiritual needs better than you do. So in a sense, I think being aware of your needs as a single person is very important. One of the biggest, most important leadership skills is self-awareness. And in a sense, each of us are leading our own lives here, right? Even in marriage, being aware of your needs is really important, isn't it? Because if you're not aware of them, you can't communicate them to the person you're married to. So just being aware of them and finding your own family, support group, peers that you can actually have to support you. You know, you don't have to be alone all the time. There are ways of actually getting the support you need. And, you know, like we talked about, sometimes face the reality. You know, it is what it is. Sometimes we have to face up to, you know, the reality of we're single, you know, and just give to God whatever the outcome is in the future. God heals broken hearts. We're going to say a prayer about that before we go. You don't have to stay broken. You don't have to stay in pain. There's no need. So don't, you know, if there's pain in your heart, get God to come in and heal it. And you know what? I mean, there's a lot of stuff we do around finding your story. Your story is God's redemption. So the areas where you struggled the most in, God will redeem. You know, embracing your identity. A lot of people are looking for a relationship, you know, for their identity. I'm not saying we all are, but you know, we have to embrace who we are as masterpieces, despite what our circumstances are. Ask for grace. Just like healing of the heart, grace, free gift. God has it in abundance. Just need to ask for it. So simple. God works outside our boxes. We don't always get things that we expect in the way that we expect them. I didn't expect to be 45 and single. But we can live empowered. We can be confident as single people. You know, Paul's encouragement, and he's there, you know, I can see you fully feel it as a single person. It's so encouraging hearing him. We can be a blessing. We've got so much to give. We have treasure inside us. Know your purpose. I think as a single person, more than anything, knowing your purpose is so important, because you know that gives you a direction and that gives you a focus. And you know what, it also helps you to find the right partner, because when you're living fully in who you are, he'll come along and it'll be someone that's beyond your wildest imagination. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was made for. All the guys I was going out with weren't in any way suitable. I'm so glad I didn't actually end up with them. Do you know what I mean? I just want to introduce the team. So I just want to come up. Sandy, Marianne and Gerard and Andre, you know, you can come up too. These are the team. They afterwards, and there's another lady on team for prayer ministry. Do you want to just stand up where you are? They can pray. If you want any prayer about anything that's come up this morning, please do just come and get some prayer afterwards. This is our team. And Marianne and Sandy are on the Destiny coaching team as well. So if you've got any questions, and Gerard is as well. So if you've got any questions about what we do with coaching, then come up and ask them. And this one over here is quite special because he's actually My fiance. And when I got asked to speak at Spring Harvest, it was quite a while ago. I think we were dating then. I think we were just friends. Your story, you know, I wasn't interested in him. And God's done a wonderful work. And 2 weeks ago, we got engaged. And the Lord did say something to me. He said that when I sort of laid the single stuff down and moved more into the destiny, he said, oh, he's going to bring it back when I get married. And I'm like, oh, here I am talking again about singleness. And I'm about to get married in July. So isn't that fun? Our story becomes God's redemption. And I tell you, we're not married yet, but I'm going to ask Gerald to speak tomorrow morning about the area of what was attracted, how he was attracted to me, and how our relationship as people who are both walking in our calling and our destiny is so different to the relationships he's had before and the relationships I've had before. And we're just going to look at integrity and values and being authentically you in relationships as opposed to what it looks like when you're not. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow morning. So come back and you can hear some of his side of the story. Thank you. So we just wanted to just end with a prayer, really. But just before I do, a couple of things. If you want the slides from this morning, and also we've got like this ebook, which is all about getting activated in your destiny, just text us on that number with your email address and we'll get it to you. We'll get it to you for free. We've got like an ebook you can have for free, which is all about just getting activated and finding out who you are. Or if you want the slides, so either email us on info@destinycoachingministries.com or text us. And if you do it in the next day or so, then we'll get that to you. Also, if you're interested in information, we've got some at the front. But we're running a singles out of the box night tonight at the, there's a pub called The Inn. You must come. That's all right. Okay, so come along to The Inn on the green tonight. What time are we starting? 9:15. We're going to have some fun if you come along. Okay. So yeah, we're just going to do some fun, kind of some like coaching type, getting to know each other type exercises and just have a drink and relax. So you're welcome. Me and Andre are hosting that, so you're welcome to come along. So if you want to stand up, we're just going to say a prayer. So yeah, just thank you, Lord, that you are the God of redemption. Lord, you are the God of grace. Lord, thank you, Lord, that it's easy for you to heal broken hearts, Lord, in a moment. And I just want you to shut your eyes and hold your hands out if you feel comfortable doing that. Just whatever it is that you feel comfortable to just receive. And we're just going to pray a prayer. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will just go into each and every heart in this room, Lord, and heal any areas, Lord, that still have pain in, Lord, with regards to the area of relationships, Lord. So we just ask for your healing to just minister to every person in the room, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you will also fill their hearts with hope, Lord. Whatever their desire to be married, to stay single, that you will just fill each and every person in the room with hope and a new level of comfort, Lord, to any loneliness they might feel. Just the Holy Spirit will come and just surround them, that they will realize they are so not alone in any moment of any day, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just say, Lord, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So, Lord, I speak to every person in the room, and I just declare over their lives, Lord, that their desires will be fulfilled. Lord, whatever they are, Lord, their deepest heart's desires will be fulfilled. We just believe that and we trust that in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.